In this church, and we're going to see God move. And I believe, like he's been speaking that we've kind of been on the edge of something for a little while. And but I'm kind of like, I'm the sort of person who sort of thinks, well, okay, what's my responsibility then in that, God? And what am I meant to do? How do I prepare a way? And I love the message of like preparing the way for the Lord. I feel like I was born to prepare the way for the Lord. I feel like it's something that stirs within me to say, wow, you know, God, I want you to come more powerfully in my life, and I want to see you come more powerfully in our church and in our world. And I feel like I was born for it. And I feel like this year, at the end of last year, I went to a Jesus Culture conference, and there was this amazing guy who talked about revival, and I was like, yes, everyone ran to the front. And and I thought, but God, I really want to see revival come. You know, we talk about people being healed and God moving in greater power and people coming to know him and our community be transformed and affecting the nation and the world, and we get excited about it, don't we, because we want that to happen. But I feel like God is saying, like, what are you ready? Are you ready? And are you willing to make the sacrifices for me to come more powerfully in your church and in your life? And so this year, it feels like God has been working in my life in a huge way. And I feel like I've got fed up of some of the things that have held me back. And like, I feel like I don't want to be held back anymore from doing what God wants me to do. I need to get a bit kind of about dealing with some of those things. So I've been getting a bit about dealing with some of those things. And I'm going to talk a little bit about my journey on that. And hopefully it'll help you in the process. And I'm going to read this passage from Isaiah 40, which you may know well. You may know it from John the Baptist quoting part of this scripture in the New Testament before Jesus came, because he came to prepare a way. And isn't it amazing? We're going to read this. This was way before Jesus came. But Jesus did come, and John did prepare a way for him. And Jesus then, like that song we just sang, he's prepared a place for us, a way for us, or whatever it is. Jesus, everything I'm going to say is in the context of the fact that Jesus has already come and made a way for us to come to the Father. He has already come, and in his body, he has paid the price for our sins so that we can come and know God. And I just want to live in response to that. And he's gone ahead of us to prepare a place for us in heaven. But he is coming again. And, you know, he says to be ready. And I've been saying, well, how am I meant to be ready, God? I don't know. So hopefully I'll be able to help you a little bit on that, and we can help each other together. Okay, let's read these verses from Isaiah 40, verse 1. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, and that her sin has been paid for, and that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Just want to pause there. Isn't it great that Jesus has paid for our sins? This was before, and Jesus has paid for them. That's just hallelujah right there. Right, so verse 3. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become plain, the rugged places are plain, become level, the rugged places are plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All the people are like grass, and their faithfulness is like the flowers of the fields. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on the high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up and do not be afraid, says to the towns of Judah. Here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and gently carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young. I love those verses. And, you know, we can, like I say, applaud, like get excited about revival. But how do we begin to make a way in our lives? And I feel like we want to make a way for God in the world, but first we need to look at our own lives and say, God, am I willing to prepare a way for God to come more in my life? And I think the first thing we need to do is make space for God, begin to make a road for him to come in our lives. And that probably requires time, which I know none of us have. I know that we all struggle to have any time. There's always pressures. And we think, when I've done this, I'll have more time for God. When I've done this. And I just want to say, we're never going to have more time. There's never going to be more time. We need to make some choices to be with God. We need to, because last week I did a session with the youth, which was, we talked about what is the difference between being a follower on social media of somebody and being a follower of Jesus. And what difference does following someone on social media have to our lives? And this may not be as relevant to you as it was to them. And what does it mean for our lives to be a follower of Jesus? And hopefully they would look very different. I'm not sure they always do. You know, if you follow someone on social media, for example, you probably, it takes a bit of your time, maybe mildly amusing, maybe irritating at times. Maybe you'd even change what you'd buy because you saw what a celebrity bought. It may change your life slightly, but hopefully it probably, unless you're a stalker, it probably isn't going to change your life too much. But if you're following Jesus, that needs to change our life. Our life needs to be different, doesn't it? Because being a follower of Jesus, we become more like him. We spend time with him. And if you spend time with Jesus, you can't remain the same. Your life cannot remain the same. And you know, I feel like we need to commit and just accept that we need to make space in our lives for him to move, to spend time with him, to listen to him and to hear what he's saying. Because when we're with him, and we know this, and everything that I say, probably most of you are going to know this, but I'm just here to remind you and remind us all, because we need to hear it again and again, don't we? Because we need to keep giving our lives back into the Lord's hands. And I think one of the first things that we need to do is to prepare our heart for him and make a place in our heart for him. And I know we have talked a lot about the heart this year, especially with Damien's illness and different things, and God began to speak to us about our hearts. And I drone on about the heart quite a lot, but it's because the heart is so important, because where your heart is where your treasure is. Where your treasure is, your heart is. What comes out of your mouth is what is in your heart. Your life will reflect where your heart is. So if your heart is not soft in God's hands, then it will reflect in our lives. And you know, our hearts get hard really quickly, don't they? We get disappointed, we get hurt, we get angry, and suddenly, before we know it, our heart's a bit hard. And in Hosea, it talks about ploughing up the fallow ground. And I don't really know anything about gardening. Our garden has a trampoline and a football pitch and a basketball hoop and a swing and a washing line. So I don't really know much about gardening, but I know that you have to dig up hard ground in order to plant new things. And if there's like hard places in our lives, we need to give our hearts back to God and say, God, please soften my heart. And in Deuteronomy 30, it said, the Lord will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants, so that you may love him with all your heart, with all your soul, and live. But I read this week in the message, and I just love this. God, your God, will cut away the thick calluses on your heart and your children's heart, freeing you to love God, your God, with all your heart and soul and live, really live. I can relate to that. Like, my heart gets calloused, it gets hard. And God promises that he will cut away the thick calluses of our hearts. And then we'd be free to love God. Like, I just want to be free to be able to love him with everything that I am. Don't you? Just be able to love him. We need his help even to love him and to follow him and to be his. And I want to, what it says, you know, that you can live, really live. He created us. He knows what it's like for us to really, for, you know, he knows what we need to really live. And when our heart is in his hands, it promises here that we will really live. And I want to really live. I don't know about you, but I just feel like we just need to continually put our heart into his hands. So can we just pray? Like, just let's just do that together right now. Your heart might be as soft and lovely and malleable as ever. But Lord God, we put our hearts back into your hands today. Lord, we trust you, Lord God. Help us, Lord, where we've been disappointed and maybe angry and our hearts have got hard. Lord, we just put them back into your hands this morning. And we say, soften our hearts so that you can plant in us your good word, Lord God, that can bear fruit. Lord, help our hearts to be good soil for you to plant in today. Amen. So I think we need to get growing in God, or keep growing. A lot of us are growing anyway, but to keep growing and keep preparing. And so when we've given our hearts to God, I think we need to get rid of, you know, it says about every mountain shall be raised up, every valley shall be raised up, every mountain will be made low in verse 4. And, you know, we often think, I don't know about you, maybe it's just me, but we often think about praying for mountains to be, you know, out there to be made low. But what about the mountains in us? What are the things that are holding you back? What is getting in the way of God moving in your life? What are your pitfalls? And, you know, if there's stones in the way, you know, we do have a little bit of garden at the front of ours, and like probably most of your gardens, if you live on this estate, they are very stony. And you have to move the stones out of the way before you plant stuff in your garden, don't you? So we need to move things out of the way. You know, if you've come this morning and you're feeling like, well, I've sinned, I've messed up, I'm full of shame, you know, Jesus died for you to pay for that. He doesn't want you to keep carrying it and holding on to it. Give it to him this morning. You know, whatever's holding you back, give it to him and begin to speak to the mountains in your life to say, no, I will not. I'm not, you know, with God, before God, with the grace of God, I'm gonna be free of these things. I feel like that is what I've been doing in the last couple of months. I've been saying, I'm gonna do everything, God. I'm gonna get people to pray for me. I'm gonna quote scripture. I'm gonna pray in tongues. I'm gonna listen to sermons online while I'm cleaning. I'm gonna go for it until you speak to me, God, until I see these things that have been holding me back be laid low in the name of Jesus. And you know what? I think that is beginning to happen. So praise God for that. And just, you know, come with me on this, because, you know, you want to be free. You want to be really free and really live like those verses in Deuteronomy says. And the third thing we need to do is make sure we're opening our life to the word of God. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of God endures forever. We need to be exposing ourselves to the word of God. You may not be great at reading. You don't have to be. Jesus said, hear the word of God and obey it. The most important thing is that we're hearing it somehow. There's plenty of ways online you can hear the word of God nowadays. It's easy to read the word of God. We are so privileged that we have the word of God. Goodness me. If we were in another country, we wouldn't have the word of God. We'd really appreciate it, wouldn't we? But just open our lives to the word of God and then do it. You know, that's what Jesus said, like, do it, hear it and do it. And, you know, that is when, I promise you, if you commit to reading the word, then God will begin to work in your life in a new way. If you haven't been doing that, maybe you spend hours doing that, but just expose yourself to the word of God in your life. The fourth thing that I think that we need to do is to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to wait on the Lord. In verse 31 in that chapter, I didn't read it, but he said, wait on the Lord and he'll renew your strength. We need to wait on the Lord. We need to listen to him. We need to be filled with his Spirit continually. Ephesians 5 verse 19, it talks about keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Ask him to fill every day. Ask him, say, God, Lord, fill me every part of my life with your Spirit. And God will begin to work. And the other thing that, I mean, all of those things that I've just said, you know, reading the word, repenting, being filled, waiting upon the Lord, all of those things happen when you do this next thing. Let the shepherd lead you in the wilderness and be with him. Basically, it's about being with God. This is all, I'm saying all the same thing. You know, we need to spend time with God that and be in his presence, not as a religious thing, but because we want to encounter him and because we want to see him come in our lives. I love this verse. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and he carries them close to his heart and he leads those that have young. When we're with God, whether it's worship, whether when we've been with God, Jesus is our shepherd. That's how he's described throughout the Bible. God's described as a shepherd and he leads us and he guides us. And when we're with him, we change. And these verses, particularly for me, are very poignant. I was reading, I don't know whether it was the first time I'd read them, but I was reading through the Bible and I was leading a trip in Israel and with a load of youth workers. And so it was busy and we were doing some work in a Palestinian school and different things. So it was busy and then we were trying to see the sites. And we stopped on our bus in the desert, in where they say that Jesus was tempted in the desert. And we didn't stop at the touristy, but we just stopped. And we sat and I thought, I'm going to spend some time with God. I'm going to have a bit of time out. Let me read what is next. And the next verse was Isaiah 40. And I read that. And as I read it, I was asking God, there was a particular thing going on in my life. And I don't know how many, you know, you know me, but you maybe don't know me. I don't think I've shared this very often. But when at the time, I just started seeing Andy, and I needed to know that God was in it. I'd prayed before I went out with him that that if I was meant to marry him, because of the situation that Andy was in, was that his first wife had died, and so it made me cry, and so we had our three children. Three of our children were, he already had them, and so I had to know that God had called me to be a mum and that God had called me to do that. And as a 23-year-old youth worker, I didn't really feel like I knew that much about parenting. And I thought, I don't really know, but I need to know that this is God's will because then I'll stick at it. And I already felt, you know, I already kind of knew that. I talked to people. It wasn't like a, you know, but I needed to know confirmation from his word because that's the way I work. And God spoke to me at another time as well while I was in Israel. But I read this verse and the verse says that, you know, he tends his flock and he gathers his lambs in his arms and he carries them close to his heart and he gently leads those who had young. And I felt like the Lord said to me, Faye, what you need to do is you need to stay close to my heart and I promise that I will lead those that have young. And so, and I took that as a word of God. I've held on to that. And I've got to say that I'm rubbish when I'm not really close to God. You can really tell. You can really tell when I'm not close to God. And I need to be close to him. And when I am, the closer I am to him, the better I am at being a mum, the better I am at being a person and a minister of the gospel, the better I am. And whatever we do in our life, if God calls us to do something, he will equip us. And I was talking to Andy about this last night, and I was saying, often when we start something, when God calls us to something, we think, I need the power, I need the gifts, I need the equipment to do this, you know, God, come upon me in power. And we do need those things. But what we really need to fulfill God's calling is we need his character and his perseverance in our lives. And, you know, anybody here who's a parent, you know you need that as a parent, don't you? And but when, you know, when God... We just need to stay close to the shepherd because when he speaks to us, he shows us how to do the things that we need to do. And we do things that we never would have done without him. I never could have done that. People used to say to me, wow, you're amazing that you've like taken on these three children. I'm not amazing. I just did what God wanted me to do. And it never seemed hard to me because God was in it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying that it's not, there weren't challenges along the way, but I don't feel like, oh, you know, I'm amazing. I'm not. I'm just his. I'm just following him and doing what he wants to do. And so, you know, we can talk about God preparing a way, but what is God calling you to do? That was a bit of an aside. So when we keep growing in him, we need to keep going in growing in him and keep going back to him. And, you know, this is a hard one. We need to allow the shepherd to continue to do his work in us, and we need to do that willingly. And that is tough, because there are rough places in our life. There are rugged places. And, you know, I read verses like Romans 5 and verse 1 and, it, you know, 2, it's sort of, you know, we boast in the hope of glory. That's good. And then it says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. I mean, they're great verses, but I'm not always very good, if I'm honest, at like going with what God is doing in my life. It's like sometimes I'm like screaming, you know, not screaming, just a bit stubborn. Or I suddenly realise what he's trying to do in my life. And I've just been reading a book called Hind's Feet on High Places. It's an old book, and I'm a bit evangelical about it. I keep talking to people about it. Some of you may have read it 40 years ago. I read it last couple of weeks ago. And it's a book about how it's an allegory of the Christian life, and it takes a character called Much Afraid, and she says she wants to go from this valley of fear to the high places with the shepherd, and she asks if he'll take her, and he says, yes, you know, you call on me, I'll be there at any point. But in order to walk on the high places, it's based on a verse in Habakkuk, I've got to make your feet like the feet of a deer. And the way that I'll do that is you need to walk in the places where a deer walks. So you're enabled to walk, to tread on the heights. And it's a beautiful book. It's so beautiful. But I realized that I just need to keep coming back to the shepherd in those hard things in my life that I don't really want him to do. Because he wants to work through all things. He promises to work all things for good for those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. And he wants to work all things, everything we're going through. We all have pressures. We all have hard times that we go through. But he promises to be with us in those things. And he promises if we work with him to do a good work through them. And, you know, even if we don't work with him, he often does a good work. But it's just easier if we work with him from experience. And, you know, and so I just, you know, and I feel like the Lord wants to do in us. He wants us to work with what he's doing in our lives. In the book, Hind's Feet on High Places, the shepherd says to her, whenever you are willing to obey me, Much Afraid, and to follow the path of my choice, you will always be able to hear and recognize my voice. And when you hear it, you must always obey. Remember also that it's always safe to obey my voice, even if it seems to call you to the paths which look impossible or even crazy. Wow. It's like, are we willing to obey the shepherd? Are we going to trust him with our lives? And, you know, I feel like we're coming to a time, you know, the world is increasingly getting darker, isn't it? There's a lot of challenges for Christians. There's a lot of challenges for everybody. But I feel like the Lord wants to make us like steel, you know. He wants to put something strong in us so that we can stand in the days of trouble. And the way we get strong is often through the things that we go through. And, you know, if you were going to the gym, if you want to build your muscle, you build it by putting repeated pressure on your muscles, I believe, having not done that. But, you know, pressure makes us stronger, doesn't it? So when we go through hard times, if we're trusting in God in them, he can make us stronger through these times. You know I've shared these verses recently, Isaiah 43, where it says, when you pass through the fire, I will be with you. When you pass through the waters, you will not be overcome. And I've held on to those verses at the start of this year because I feel like I've just had to keep throwing myself on him and saying, God, keep doing what you're doing. I want to be like a sword in your hand. I want to be strong in you. And I believe that he wants to make us like a sword in his hand. He wants to be able to wield us powerfully in this world and make a difference. And the way they forge a sword is through pressure. They use water and fire. We need all of those things in our Christian walk. We need pressure. We need it, I believe. I don't like it, but we need it. And we need the fire of God, and we need the water of the Holy Spirit. There's a beautiful moment in the film The Lord of the Rings where, oh, not just the film, the books as well, but there's a character called Aragorn who, for a lot of the journey, he's noble and he's a fighter and he stands up and he fights, but he's not quite ready to embrace the fact that of who he's really meant to be. He's meant to be the king. And there's this beautiful point in the film. There's a sword which belongs to the king that has been broken, and they put it in the fire and they reforge it, and then he is given the sword again, ready to fight. And at that moment in the film, it's like something in him rises up and he suddenly becomes the man that he's meant to be. And it says, from the ashes a fire shall be awoken, a light from the shadow shall spring, renewed shall be the blade that was broken, the crownless again shall be king. And Aragorn in the film, he begins to, you see like a change, something changes within him. And I know some of you probably feel like you're broken in God's hands, but in God's hands you're safe, and he may put you in the fire, but he will bring you out and you'll be stronger and you'll be like a sword in your hands, you know, if you're willing to do that. And I know that's challenging, but I believe, you know, it's what we need to keep on growing and keep on going. And as a result, what will happen if we keep on growing with him, if we keep on being with the shepherd, and if we keep on keeping on, we will glow for God. That happens naturally. We will shine for him. I would have said shine, but it wasn't a G. And but, you know, we want to keep on growing, keep on going, and keep on glowing. We want to shine for God. We will make a difference in this world if we commit ourselves to him, if we spend time with him, because he will speak to us if we're willing to put that time aside. And we need God to come in our world, don't we? We need him to come. We need a sovereign move of God. And towards the end of the bit that I read, it says, "You who bring good news to Zion, go up on the high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up and do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him and his recompense accompanies him." I believe the Lord wants to come in sovereign power, and I believe that we may need to raise our voices and speak the word of God, and we may need to step out in faith in new ways. But I believe God will show you how you're going to do that, and it's not going to be hard, and it's not going to be, it may be hard, but it's not going to be, it's going to come out the outflow of what God is doing in you as he speaks to you, as you spend time with him, as you love on him and know that he is your good shepherd. Out of the outflow of that will come rivers of living water, which will feed people in this world who desperately need him. And I believe, like, you know, I've talked about personal prayer, but I believe we need to make the groundwork in prayer as a church. And I don't know, I know a lot of you have seen The War Room. I've heard a lot of people talking about it. I've watched it. Great film. Recommend it. But do you know what God said to me a couple of weeks ago about that? Are you actually praying? Has that, you've talked about the film and got, you know, oh, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. God's praying. Are we actually, has it actually done anything in you, Faye? Are you actually praying more than you were? And a little bit was the answer. But it's just been a challenge to me to say, okay, I need to get before him, because God will move when we pray. You know, all great moves of God through history have been when the people of God begin to seek his face and seek his will and ask for him to come in power. And then the glory of God will be revealed. That's what it says. We've got some opportunities this week for you to come and pray. One Hope, Thursday morning, they have a regular prayer meeting at the Hope Center, and half night of prayer. There's time when we can corporately come together and let's seek God together. And, you know, we're not going to do it sitting on plastic chairs in the shampoo position. We are going to really seek God together. And I encourage you to come along to that. And, you know, I love reading Christian biographies. And one of them really impacted me. Was The Cross and the Switchblade. And there's the guy who started Teen Challenge, which is there was some guys here from Teen Challenge a few weeks ago, and it's this drug and alcohol freedom ministry. And the guy who started it, do you know what happened to him? He got he got dissatisfied with what God was doing through him. He was a small town pastor, and he wanted to see God move more in his life, more through him, and more in his church. So he decided to pray more, and in order to do that, he used to, when he came home from evening meetings, he used to watch the telly. So God told him to get rid of the telly. So he went to his wife and he said, "God's told me to get rid of the telly because he wants me to pray." And she went, probably godly wife, going, "Good." And inside she's going, "Yes, that's what I've been praying for, that he'll seek God more." So he started to do that, and God began to really speak to him. You know, he went through, it was over a little bit of time. He had to kind of press through. He had to keep growing, keep going. But God began to give him a heart for kids in New York, which was way away from where he was. And God began to speak to him, and he was a small town pastor. He wasn't equipped to work with gangs in New York. But God took him on a journey. He took him on a prayer journey. He started his prayer journey, and it resulted in him doing an amazing work, not only in New York, but as we've seen across this country as well, and other countries, to see people freed from the addiction in their life. That's what God begins to do if we put that time aside. If we say, "God, come on, I want you to prepare the way in my life," we will change, and you know, he will ask us to do more in his world. And I felt like when I was praying the other day that God, we're about to start a series on Romans 8, and that chapter is an amazing chapter in the Bible, and a lot of it is about freedom. And I felt like that God was saying, "I'm about to bring increased freedom to the people of God, freedom in me, freedom in themselves. Freedom from sin, freedom from guilt, freedom to live for me. But they must embrace what I am about to do. They must embrace me. They must commit to the process. They must give me their whole heart." And I feel like God's preparing us. I feel like, you know, Damien's going to be on, he's not quite on sabbatical, but he's in Brazil at the moment. And I feel like, you know, we're not going to be sitting here just waiting for him to come back. We're going to be pressing on into God, aren't we? You know, are we? Yeah, good. And we're going to be allowing God to prepare our lives so that we can see God's kingdom come in greater power. And, I just feel that we need to respond to him this morning. You know, we've given our lives back to him, and commit to growing again. Commit to making that space in our life. Commit to keeping on going. And maybe you need to be filled with the Spirit this morning to refresh you, to keep you going. And so that then we can be filled with the Spirit, and we will glow for him. We will shine for him. I want to read Romans 5, the verse I read earlier. I read them in the message the other day, probably a couple of weeks ago, and if you've spoken to me, I will have read these verses to you because they're so amazing. But I felt like it was a promise for me, but I felt like it was a promise for this church as well. Okay, you might not be able to see it very well, but by entering through faith into what God has always wanted to do for us, set us right with him, make us fit for him, we have it all together with God because of our Master Jesus. And that's not all. We throw open our doors to God and discover at the same moment that he has already thrown open his door to us. We find ourselves standing where we always hoped we might stand, out in wide open spaces, of God's grace and glory, standing tall and shouting our praise. There's more to come. Hope Church, there's more to come. We continue to shout our praise, even when we're hemmed in with troubles. It's not easy, but shall we? Shall we praise him even when we're hemmed in with troubles? Because we know that troubles can develop passionate patience in us. Don't you want that? And how that patience in turn forges the tempered steel of virtue, keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. In alert expectancy such as this, we're never left feeling shortchanged. Quite the contrary, we can't round up enough containers to hold everything God generously pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit. I want God to raise our alert expectancy. We're not going to be shortchanged, Hope Church. We are not. We are, it's completely different in your version probably. But I want that passionate patience and that tempered steel virtue inside me. I don't know about you. And I'm going to ask the worship team to come back, and I wanted to leave enough time for us to respond to God this morning. If you feel like you're ready to prepare a place for him in your life in a new way and commit to that. I feel we hear the word, but we need to respond to it too. And maybe if you just like want to recommit to that this morning, maybe you could just stand with me this morning. Lord Jesus, we want to put our lives back in your hands. And Lord God, we want to keep growing in you. Lord, we want to prepare a way for you, because many of us are dissatisfied with where we're at, but we know we can really live. We know we can come to a place where we can really love you and be free in you, Lord God. Lord, I thank you that you have promised to bring us into an increased place of freedom in our life, freedom from fear, freedom from shame and guilt, freedom from unforgiveness, Lord God. And Lord, we want to be committed to working with you, Lord God, in what you're doing. Lord, I don't know what everyone's going through in this room, but Lord, where there is area of pressure, Lord God, will you this morning refresh them with your Holy Spirit? Will you fill them up, Lord God, with your Spirit this morning? And let the fire of God come on them, Lord Jesus, this morning. Lord God, so you can forge them, Lord Jesus, into the people that you want them to be. Lord, that you can develop the character of Jesus in us. Lord God, we want to recommit to walking with the shepherd again. Lord, we need to be with the shepherd, because otherwise we get really grumpy sheep. Lord God, we're not good sheep when we're not with the shepherd. And you are so loving. You are so faithful. You are so strong, God. And when we look to you, Lord God, you help us not to be overwhelmed. So this morning, God, we look to you, Lord, again. And Lord, where there are areas in our lives, Lord, where there have been, there's things in our life, Lord Jesus, which are getting in the way, which are stopping you moving. Lord Jesus, we want to put them in your hands this morning. Lord, we want to repent, Lord Jesus, of the sin, Lord Jesus, which has held us back. And Lord, we want to speak to the mountains in our lives in Jesus' name and say, be gone in Jesus' name. Lord, come and make those rough places smooth, oh God, in our lives. We want to be more like you, Jesus. And we, Lord, we want to see you come in our world. Lord, we long for a sovereign move of God in our nation. Lord, in our town, Lord God. And we want to be part of that, Lord Jesus. We want to be part of seeing you come in greater power. We want to be able to prepare a place for you to come so you can come freely, Lord. We don't want to keep you out of our church, Lord God, with programs and busyness. Lord God, we want you to be king of us, of our church, of us, of our lives, so that we are making a difference, Lord, to the world around us. Lord, we need you. Lord, we need your kingdom to come and your will be done. And Lord, this morning, as we recommit, Lord, you've made us fit, Lord Jesus, to come before you. And we want to throw open our doors to you this morning. And Lord, we realize as we do that, that you've already thrown open your doors to us. And Lord, you are going to take us into the wide open spaces of God's grace and glory, standing tall and shouting your praise. And Lord, this morning we lift our voices in praise to you, Lord God. We praise you, even if we're feeling hemmed in this morning, we lift you up. Lord, because we know those troubles can develop passionate patience in us. And patience can forge the tempered steel of virtue. And Lord, we say this morning, we want to be more like Jesus. We want to embrace what you're doing in us. And Lord, we want to be in alert expectancy. Lord, because you are not going to shortchange us. Lord, by your Holy Spirit, I pour your love into our hearts this morning. Pour your love into our hearts, Lord, because when we receive challenge, Lord God, sometimes it can seem hard, but it's not hard because when you bring that challenge, Lord, your love pours into our hearts, Lord God. And then we just won't have enough containers to hold everything your Holy Spirit is going to do in this church. So Holy Spirit, I pray, will you come this morning?
Thank you, Faye. There's plenty of time to respond to that, and we're going to take time. The prayer ministry team will be at the front if you need prayer. I was particularly touched by the phrase which Faye quoted about being dissatisfied. Something from my experiences, I know that God sometimes stirs us out of our comfort zone. If you're starting to feel dissatisfied, uncomfortable, stirred up, I just wonder if it's, part of God standing at your door and knocking to take you into something new. And that's part of what we need to do to prepare the way for him, to make that way. And sometimes part of that can be putting down good things to do the best things. If God's making you feel uncomfortable, dissatisfied, then definitely I would say come to the front. My advice would be come to the front and seek prayer and seek from him what he's saying. Balapi's just got a word that he wants to share, and then we're going to let Steve lead us in worship. Thank you.
Amen. As Faye was just preaching, a word that came to my heart was, blessed are they that hunger, and blessed are they that thirst, for they shall be filled. And as I was just meditating on that word, I just felt as if many of us here, God has put a hunger in our lives, amen. A hunger to see a certain thing happen in the body of Christ. Say for me, my hunger is to see the manifest glory of God happening in this nation. For people to be saved, for people to come to God. And I know each and everyone here, God has placed a hunger in you. And I say today, God is stirring up that hunger. God is stirring up that passion in you for you to stand up and rise up. Because David was just one person, amen, who was in the wilderness, forgotten. But when it came to a time that Goliath was rising up against the people of God, God called David to come out of the wilderness, to kill Goliath with just one stone. So I'm saying today, here and now, that each and every one of us, God is stirring you up to rise up from the comfort zone, to rise up from the place that you're hiding, to say, to stand up and say, I'm going to stand and fight. I'm going to stand and move mountains. I'm going to stand and see his glory manifest in the nations. So today, I just want to say today, don't be afraid. Step out of your comfort zone. Step out of your own fears, because it is he that gives you the strength. Amen. Because the Bible says, blessed are they that wait upon the Lord. Amen. For it is he that will give you the strength. Renew that strength in you. He will renew that strength. Amen. God bless.